the Lord seen fit to interrupt my life and interrupt Stephanie, my wife, and my daughters. And we're thankful for that, of what he's done and what he's going to do. And I pray that he'll speak to us today from his word. So if you're able, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. You know, standing does nothing for us. I share this wherever I have the opportunity to be able to go. But you know, there's people all around the world today or tonight, whatever place they're in, there's many people don't have a copy of God's word. And we have been blessed to not only have a copy, but most of us have numerous copies even in our home. But copies in our car right now. And there are people around the world that would do anything that they possibly could just to get one page of this living book. And today we're standing before God Almighty, amen, and reading his profound and perfect word. Beginning in verse number 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we come before you and humble ourselves in your sight in this place today that we have dedicated to worship and to serve and to adore you. Lord, we know that you are the giver of all life and you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And we pray that in this service that it would please you and bring great delight to your heart to speak to us today. Lord, we know truth is not revealed apart from you unveiling it. So we come at your mercy asking you to speak life into us. And those that are here that are still perishing in their sin, that are deceived and don't even know it, I pray today that you will command light to speak into their being and their heart, and that darkness would flee and you would remove the veil from their eyes, and that they would come to know you personally and intimately today. And for your people, we pray that you would grant unto us repentance, that you would unveil your truth and give us a mind to act on what you teach us. And we pray that those that are snared by the enemy would be set free, and that your stewards, Lord, would rejoice before you with joy inexpressible and full of glory. For we praise, we adore you, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, what we want to look at is the idea of being a champion with a cause. I don't think there's any more time in history that the people of America, the church of the living God in our day and time, it is time for the church to stand up and be the church. Amen? It is time for us to realize that God has so shaped our lives and formed each one of us, whether we are young or whether we are more mature, whether we are a man or we are a lady, whatever God has worked out in our life, he has worked it so that we could bring glory and praise to his holy name. And that God desires, I really believe with all my heart, that we as the people of God would be men and women who are dangerously strong for the truth upon the face of the earth. In this book, Jeremiah, in chapter number 9, you don't have to turn there, he tells Jeremiah that the people in Jeremiah's day, this very group of people for whom God has just spoken life into this young servant and launching him out to go minister under this group of people, he tells him that they are a people who have bent their tongue or shaped their tongue to communicate the lie. and that they were not valiant for the truth upon the earth. And the word valiant is the word that means someone who is mighty, someone who is a warrior, someone who is dangerous. So therefore, God says they are not dangerously strong for the truth upon the earth, and that they proceed from one thing that is evil to the next thing. That literally means that which is good for nothing eternally to that which is good for nothing eternally. When I was growing up down in Covington, Louisiana, where Stephanie and I are both from, my dad used to tell me about some of my relatives. I have relatives like some of you have relatives. He used to name some of them. He said they were good for nothings. You ever heard that term before? The kind that would slack, the kind that would wait on the government to take care of the needs, you know, the kind that liked to drink, the kind that liked to do the dope, the kind that got hooked on prescriptions because everybody else took care of them. He used to label them as being good for nothings. And the Bible describes that very same term, Brother Randy, for that which is evil, that which is bad, that which is fallen. It means that it has no value from an eternal perspective. It's good for nothing eternally. And God says, how can you know that people don't know me is that they've lived their life by absorbing things that is of this world and that is not of the truth. And therefore, it is useless. It is of no value to touch men's hearts for an eternal sake, and that they're not dangerously strong or valiant warriors for the truth. So that tells me that God desires to raise up champions, champions for his truth. And we pray that in this place, this hour, this time, this morning, that if you're not a champion already, if you don't know you a champion, that God may breathe life on you and raise you up to be a warrior for the kingdom. And that this church, Trinity Heights Baptist Church, will take a hold of the garments of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to adore and praise him and fall before him and ask God for supernatural unction and anointing of his Holy Ghost to raise this church to be a dynamic witness for the glory of God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it all begins when the Lord desires to speak a word of life to us, to interrupt us. Here's Jeremiah, this man that we're looking here, this young man, exactly his age, we're not sure. But I love what the word says in verse number 5. Before I formed you in the belly, or within the womb, within the hollow of the belly, I knew thee. And for us to be champions for the cause of the kingdom of God, there's a couple things that I want to point out to you today out of this passage of scriptures. Number one is this. Is that we as the people of God need to be missionaries with a message. Missionaries with a message. And I know automatically you're thinking in your mind, well, Brother Nick, we have the message. The message is the gospel. And there is no greater message than that we can carry to a lost and dying world. But that's not the exact message that I'm talking about right here. We need to be missionaries with a message in the fact that our God has desired in his own sovereign will to call us out of darkness and bring us into his marvelous light, and that he himself has squeezed and formed and fashioned our life even before we were formed or squeezed within the womb. He knew us, he sanctified us, and he ordained us to do the work that he's called us to do. And I want to tell you, we need to be missionaries with a message that has the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our life, that no matter what goes on in my life, no matter what I have to face, that I've been called of God and I'm a missionary with a message, and that is I am a friend of the living Savior. Amen? That I belong to him. He knew me before I even breathed my first breath. He knew me before my parents ever breathed their first breath. He knew me before he made Adam and Eve in the garden. And the Bible says, because of the Lamb which was slain before the foundation of the world and spilt his glorious blood. You know, all that God does according or toward mankind is through the blood of Jesus. Amen? Isn't that a wonderful thought to know that our God, before the foundation of the world, knew you and knew you more intimately than you even know yourself even today? And that even though he knew you and he knew what you would do and he knew what you would say and he knew where you would go, he knew what you would watch, he knew what you would listen to, he still said, if I've called you by your name and I've set you apart to do my work, we can rejoice today that we are a missionary with a message. And that is, I can walk in the confidence of the calling of God upon my life. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Amen. Because I know where I came from. I know my background. I know the things I used to do. I know the things I used to say. I know the things I used to watch. I know the people I used to run with. I know those things. I know things that no one else knows but outside of God himself. And he still has chosen to make himself known to me and says, Nick, you're mine. And I have set you apart for a purpose. I've ordained you and consecrated you and appointed you. I've given you a commission to accomplish. And I want to tell you, I'm going to send you to people and they're going to look at you with frowning faces. They're going to look like they've been sucking on lemons all morning long. And they're going to be sad-faced, and they're going to grind at you, and they're going to look at you and say, who in the world do you think you are to tell me anything? That's what he told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces, amen? You know what he's saying? He's saying, don't let your circumstances govern how you live. Don't let what you're looking at in your daily walk and the way people respond to you, you let this fact govern you, that you belong to me. And before you were born, I knew you. Before you breathed your first breath and came out of the womb, I cleansed you by way of a declaration of the blood of Jesus. I consecrated you, and I have commissioned you to be my prophet unto the nations. And it doesn't matter what any other man says about you. It doesn't matter how anyone else looks to you. It doesn't matter what anyone does to you personally. You can be a missionary with a message that walks in my authority, and I have delegated you, Jeremiah, to represent me on the face of this earth. Wow. To represent the Lord on the face of this earth. A missionary with a message. He says, I have exalted you above all the nations and all the kingdoms. You have my authority, Jeremiah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. For I'm the one who's created the blacksmith who makes the weapons, and I'm the one who actually controls the one who is the spoiler who uses the weapons to his destruction. No weapon whatsoever formed against you shall prosper. Jeremiah, it won't be easy on this journey that you're walking down, but you can rest assured that you're my missionary. And you have a message, and the message you need to know and you need to cling to is that I've called you personally, and you belong to me. And when you have that authority upon your life, when you have that clarification upon your ministry, and when you've been set apart by God and you know it, folks, we ought to be dangerous, amen? Knowing what God has called us to. Now, our government may say you can't pray on the campuses of school, but our God says you can. Amen. Our laws of the land may say you can't do this and you can't do that. You can't preach truth. If we're not careful, listen to me, church, who failed to recognize that they were missionaries with a message, and they've let a culture around them overrule them and outspeak them and dominate them. But when you know that you've been touched by God Almighty and he's placed his word in you and he's called you for his glory, you can stand up with confidence. No matter if he desires to take your life or that he uses you, you could bring glory to his name. Amen. You see, a missionary with a message. We also, though, need to be a preacher with a purpose. How many preachers we have in here today? If you're a preacher of the gospel, stand up. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Let me rephrase this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things have what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become And all these things were of God. Listen, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And not only that, has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know what that means? That means if you've been born again by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, bought by his blood, resurrected in power and glory by his spirit, it doesn't matter who you are in here today, you've been set apart to be a preacher of the gospel. Amen? So I'm going to ask again, how many preachers do we have in this place today? If you're a preacher, stand up. Now, if you're a preacher of the gospel, that would mean you have a purpose. Amen? You can be seated. You can be seated. You see, if we're going to be a champion, we got to think like a champion. Amen? And if I don't recognize the fact that I've been called to preach the gospel, you think I'm going to preach it? Matter of fact, how many of you carry and how many of you have a little New Testament in your back pocket today? Raise your hand. Got a few. How many of you have a tract in your pocket or somewhere that you can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody? How many of you have something? How many of you carry something in your pocket that you use as a personal witness that helps people come to know Jesus? Anybody? I make these little nails right here. I buy these nails at Lowe's, and on the back of them, I inscribe a message that says, "He died for all." I put a little fingernail polish. I have three daughters, so there's plenty of fingernail polish in the house. So I put a little fingernail polish on it, and I use these as a means of being able to share what Jesus has done in my own personal life. And that I once was a sinner, lost, perishing in my sins, condemned because I believed not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Jesus decided in July 1997 to interrupt my life and alter my life permanently and forever and invade my life by his grace. And by the way, how did he do that? He did that because he died for me on the cross of Calvary. And on that cross, he took three nails upon that cross, shed his perfect and royal blood to wash away and cleanse me of my sin. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "We judge thus. We are compelled by the love of Christ." Why? Because if he died for all, then all died. And he died for all, verse 15, that those that live, listen, should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and rose for them. And I engrave that message on there, and I use it to witness to people personally, but I also use it that when I stumble across another disciple maker, and what I do, I share with them, I say, "Now look, this is just a reminder that Jesus shed his blood. That meant he purchased you. And if he purchased you, your life is no longer yours. And you have no right whatsoever to live your life the way you want to live it. Matter of fact, you're owned by Jesus. You received the new Lord and Master when you come to know him. So therefore, you can't make decisions on your own without seeking his face first and letting him lead you in all things." And then I share with them this, that if Jesus was willing to take three of these nails, which are small, larger nails, on the cross of Calvary, don't you think we ought to be willing to share with at least three people a week of what he's done for us? And I give them the nail as a reminder to just go find three people a week with an intention and a purpose to go share Jesus. I want to tell you, disciple making, a preacher with a purpose, has heard from the Lord. And the Lord says that all power and authority has been granted unto him. And he has commissioned us to go make disciples. Amen? And in making disciples, we teach them all the things that he's taught us. We are to be about the business of the Lord, and that is seeking to save that which is lost. Isn't that right, church? The Lord has blessed this church. It's obvious. He has blessed y'all financially. He has blessed y'all's fellowship. He's blessed y'all's continuity with one another. But one thing that I know that y'all desire and want, y'all want the influence and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Amen? For what purpose? That you can exist to be an authentic witness of the Lord Jesus and what he's come to do. And as you are, the Lord will put an intentional purpose upon your life. That there's people on your job that God wants you to be an authentic witness to share Jesus with. You say, "Well, if I share Jesus on my job, preacher, my boss is going to fire me." Remember what he told Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, you over all the nations of the earth and over all the kingdoms. You over every king that's on the face of this earth. You have the authority to exercise my dominion on the face of the earth. Now, you don't need to go tell your boss you over him. Amen. That may not be a wise thing to do. Jeremiah didn't go tell everybody he was over them. He just submitted himself to the Lord. And what Jeremiah did and the way that he lived his life, he exercised authority and God was able to use him. Amen. And he'll use you and he'll use me to accomplish his purpose in these days. But if I am not purposeful, if I am not intentional, if I don't know the Lord said, I'm going to put my words in your mouth and you're going to go to all who I send you. And this is what I want you to do when you go to them. I want you to tear down some things in their life. I want you to pluck up some things. I want you to break up some ground. I want you to root out some stuff. I want you to then so that you can build and plant. It's a picture of a man moving into a new territory to homestead. He finds a lot of land, but he's got to cut those trees down. He's got to remove the stumps and the roots out of the ground so that he can build a foundation, so that he can plant his by means he would survive, his garden, his crops, and all that. This is the picture. And doing this type of work is not easy. Amen? I mean, clearing a lot of land and planting your garden and building your own house, that's not easy work. That's saying that I have to invest something into this. I've got to invest sweat equity in this. I've got to think about ways that I can make this most efficient. Well, the same thing applies to a preacher with a purpose. He has to think. He has to pray. He has to plan as the Lord places with his heart. So that when I leave out of my home every day, I know I've heard from the Lord and he's given me a purpose to accomplish. He's given me a truth that I could cling to and a promise that I can trust of him. And I believe if we'll start living that way, God would use us, church. Do you know there's no way that you and I can accidentally obey the Lord? Have you ever thought about that before? That there's no such thing as accidental obedience. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, the Bible says it's impossible to please God apart from faith. So if I'm going to obey the Lord, I have to what? First hear from the Lord. And as I hear from the Lord, I rest my confidence in him and what he's told me. And therefore, faith is always validated in its works and how it's lived out. So it is impossible for you and I to accidentally obey the Lord with any eternal reward. So if I can't accidentally obey him, that would lead me to believe that I need to seek his face each and every morning when I wake up to get a fresh word from him. And as he speaks life into me, I believe what he speaks. And then I take what he speaks to me, and in faith, I live that out in obedience. And God has promised that his word never returns void. It will accomplish what he sent it forth to accomplish. So we need to be a missionary. With what? A message that I've been called of God. I need to be a preacher with a purpose. That is, I've sought the face of the Lord and he's given me the direction that I'm going to walk. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust not in your own understanding, right? But we're to what? Lean not on our own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he has promised to do what in our life? Direct our path. But I want to take it one step further, and that is not only a missionary with a message or a preacher with a purpose, church, but we need to be a warrior with a weapon. A warrior with a weapon. Now, God told Jeremiah, I'm going to put my word in your mouth, and you go speak what I tell you to speak. When I was brought up, my daddy taught me how to fight with my fists. That's how we've settled things. But when I come into the kingdom of God, I no longer had to fight with my fists. God taught me how to fight, and that's draw nigh unto him, draw near unto him, and he would draw nigh unto me. And the Bible says, as I submit myself to the Lord, and as I draw near to him, he's promised me that the enemy would what? Flee. Because why? I stand in opposition and resist the enemy myself and the power of God's Spirit. So no longer do I have to fight, but I've got the living Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, our weapon. And I want to tell you, you know what our society needs today? Our society needs a group of men and a group of women, but I'm going to talk to the men for a moment. Needs a group of men who will stand up like a warrior with the weapon of the Word of God in their mouth, hidden away in their heart, because the mouth speaks out of the heart. That we hide the Word of God in our heart and we stand up like champions, like warriors, and we're not going back down. If God said it, we're going to believe it. And if we believe it, we're going to live it. And if we live it, whether hell or high water, whether it costs us everything that we know and have, we're going to obey the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have the weapon of the glory of God, and that is the sword of His Spirit, the very living Word of God that He's planted within us, and we need to stand on it. We need to be a warrior. Take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter number 42. Isaiah 42. Look in verse number 13. Y'all mind if I come down here with y'all? I've been wanting to jump off of there. Amen. Isaiah 42 and verse number 13. This is a prophetic passage of Scripture of what the Lord's going to do when he comes. Now, Old Testament mindset of what He's going to do when He comes to the earth. Now, watch this in verse 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy, or that is zealousness, like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. Like a man of war, and he shall stir up zealousness within the heart of his champions like a man of war. How many of you ever seen this? I remember in my BC days, I watched a movie called Braveheart. How many of you ever seen that movie, Braveheart? You remember in that movie, Braveheart, when the English continued to try to overrule the people, and that the lords of the people, they would all gather it up and they would get out on the battlefield, and the English would march with their innumerable host of trained military men, and they would have their cavalry, and they would have their arrowmen, and they would have their swordsmen, they would have their ground troops, and these lords would bring out all these peasants, and they would stand and they would look across the battlefield, and as they looked across the battlefield, they knew they were outnumbered, they were outmanned, they were outsized in every dynamic, from their weapons to their military might and mind. And what would happen is that they would normally meet out in the middle of the battlefield. They would have a delegation out there between the lords and the delegate from the English army, and they would normally yield consent unto them, and they would stay under their oppression. But then there rose up a man who got very aggravated with what was happening, and his name is William Wallace. Y'all remember seeing the movie? And William Wallace began to be stirred within his heart to do something against this English oppression. His men, William Wallace, rode in and talked with the lords, and then rode among the people, and the people were about to flee and leave. But he began to speak to them, and he began to challenge them. He began to call on them to stand up and fight for their freedom. Even if it meant they would lose their life, they would die a free man, and freedom would be what they were fighting for. And as they begin to stir up, as you've seen the movie and you know what happened, they actually didn't flee this time. They stood up for the battle, and they wanted to fight. Now, I want you to think about this passage right here. There is an enemy out there that walks about like a roaring lion. But I read in the Word of God that my Jesus upon the cross of Calvary rendered him defenseless. Amen? He destroyed his power. Matter of fact, if you read in Psalms 3, Brother Randy, it says that the Lord has hit the enemy on the cheek and he's knocked his teeth out. Now, a lion can't bite you if his jaw's been broke. Praise the Lord. And if his teeth's been knocked out, he can't get a hold of him. Now, he's still got claws. You got to watch him. He'll still get you. But the Lord Jesus Christ has destroyed the power of Satan over our life.
And what we have to believe and what we need to cling to is that Jesus is a mighty warrior. And like we seen with William Wallace, that run before the people on his horse and stirred up zealousness within their heart, though they were outnumbered, though they were outmanned, they had more sophisticated weaponry, it did not matter. Why? There was a zeal stirred up in their hearts. And no matter what they looked at on the other side, no matter what the voice of the enemy said to them, it overcame that enemy's voice and they stood up like warriors and fought the fight. And I want to tell you today that when Jesus stirs in your heart, it doesn't matter what this old world will say, man, you will stand up and fight for him. Amen? You'll be a champion for the kingdom of God, a warrior with a weapon. And your weapon is not these anymore. Your weapon is not a sword on your side anymore. Your weapon is the authority of the heritage of the saints of God. And that is, thus saith the Lord. And if God said it, we can have it. Amen? If God says it, we can do it. Because all the promises in the Lord Jesus Christ are yes and amen to the people of God. And we can stand up in this day. And no matter what people say, we can battle in Jesus' name and be triumphal and victorious, because I read in the New Testament that he always leads us in triumph. Man, that gets me excited. I'm ready to battle. Amen? A warrior with a weapon. But he was also a bond slave with a burden. He had a burden for his people. He was brokenhearted for the people of God who was wayward and sought after the things of this world, so much as the Bible tells us that Jeremiah preached for 23 years faithfully for the Lord and never saw a convert. But he would weep over the people of God. He was burdened for their condition that was perishing and going to be destroyed. Folks, we got to have a message from the Lord, and that is, we've been called by him. We need a purpose, and we are preachers of the gospel, no doubt. And we need to be that warrior that has a weapon, the very word of God itself. But folks, we need a burden in these days that only God can give to his people, for his church, and for this world around us. We need to be broken. Amen. We're not broken. We're not desperate for God to use us in a significant way to see little boys and girls rescued. I'm thankful y'all doing VBS to see little boys and girls rescued. I'm thankful that I got to walk in y'all's sanctuary the other day, Friday, and walk around and look at the work that's been done and how beautiful and how nice it is. But I'm telling you, sanctuaries don't save souls. Amen. It's the people of God preaching the gospel of God who have a burden on their heart, who have been blessed by the Lord, who are a warrior for the kingdom and have a purpose by him and just stand on his authority, that God rescues this old land we're living in. And it's time for us to say, God, use us. Amen? Amen. Y'all have the potential. Y'all really have the potential to see thousands upon thousands of people come into the kingdom of God right here in this fellowship. Y'all have the potential. The key is, we got to have the power. And the only way we're going to have the power is when we're broken over our sin, and we're broken over the condition of our church, and we're broken over the condition of our community. Boy, I'm so thankful the way God used my mother-in-law and used my wife. My wife stepped out before I did. And I'm thankful it's through her witness and the way God worked in her that it led me. But when God brought me into the kingdom, he showed me that my wife ain't to lead my home. I'm to lead it under his authority. Amen? Y'all getting quiet on me in here. Man, you got to be a warrior. You have the word of God. Stand up and fight for what is right. You read in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 2, it'll tell you straight up that when God's wrath is on a people, he'll let childish leaders lead them and women will rule over them. So daddies, this is what I'm saying. It's the men, when God's men are revived in the power of his spirit, is when God begins to stir it upon the hearts of his people and revival will break out. Now, does God use his women mightily? Oh, I can't even describe the way God uses his women. But the Bible does say the woman is a weaker vessel. Just because she's weaker don't mean she's of less value. Matter of fact, she might be more precious. But the key is, God's wired and governed that men are to take the lead. Praise God. And y'all know men and women are different, amen? That should have been amens all over, right? The reason God put a womb in a woman is because she is a wombed man. So step up to the task and be a man for the glory of God. And let God use you. He desires and delights to use you for His glory. And that leads me into the last thing, and we're going to close with this. Is that we need to be a hero with a heart. A hero with a heart. You know what these young people in this front row and these little boys and these little girls in here need? They need modern day heroes in the church of God. Who are heroes they can look to as an example and a way to live. They don't have to turn on MTV. They don't have to turn on the sports. They don't have to watch Shaq play or whoever's playing. They don't have to turn on the ESPN and watch LSU play this evening and try to pick out a hero to emulate. No, that the power of God rests on the men and the women of this church so that when they walk together in their homes and in this fellowship, that there are literally heroes that they can follow that have a heart for the things of God and that are not slackers in this day, who don't take their hands off when the heat comes and when the battle gets tough, but they'll stand on a sure foundation and be a hero for the kingdom of God. This is what we need today in America. This is what Trinity Heights needs. This is what Nick Holden needs. Modern day heroes. I'm thankful for what God's done in the past, aren't you? Aren't you thankful for the written testimony of the Word? Aren't you thankful for reading about revivals that God used different people in modern and days? Aren't you thankful for men like Charles Spurgeon? But wouldn't it be nice to see God raise up some men and women like that today? Amen? Some men and women that are mighty in the Scriptures. Mighty in battle. That pray, that seek, that are compassionate, that care for. Because they know that their God has been so compassionate and caring with them. And that we yield our life over. There's something powerful. Knowing that you've been called by God. There's something amazing that is comforting to know that you are a child of the King. There's an absolute blessing of the glorious things of God. Knowing that you've been set apart to do His work. Now, the question that I would pose to you in this place today, would be this. Do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Well, let me say it this way. Do you like Him? Is He the affection of your heart? Is He the cry of your spirit? Is He the longing of your eyes? If He's not, men and women, boys and girls, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. 1 Corinthians 1, 16:22 says, if a man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, that same man is accursed. That means he doesn't have an affection for Him, that he wants to know more about Him, to go deeper and deeper with Him. If he doesn't know Him that way, he don't know Him at all. And if you don't long desperately to know Jesus to the point that you seek Him with your whole heart, to get in His Word and follow hard after Him, I plead with you today by the mercy of God that you will turn from your sin and turn unto Jesus and place your trust and confidence in what He did upon the cross of Calvary to take away your sin so that you can belong totally to Him. Give Him your life today. Brother Randy's going to come in a moment and he'll help you. I'll help you. There's other folks here that'll help you. Give your life to Jesus. For those that say you know Him, that you love Him, and that you really do like Him, I plead with you today that if God has spoken to your heart, I don't know how y'all work the invitation. You can do it where you are, but if you just want to come down and have an altar here, wherever it may be, you may need to publicly acknowledge and repent of sin today for whatever reason. I don't know. But if God's spoken to your heart, you respond to what He's spoken to you in obedience. And God will bless you. He'll use you mightily. I thank you for the opportunity I've had to share with you today what he's just given to me. For some of you here, it may have spoke directly to you. For others in here, it might have shot right over you. For the others in here, you may be ready to go already. I don't know. But I believe I've done what exactly God's told me to do. Now, it's between you and he on what you are going to do with what he's given you. So you respond in obedience today and trust Jesus. You may want to unite with this church. Be a warrior for the kingdom. Would you stand with me in this invitation? Father, I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for working in my life. Thank you for changing me. Lord, I just pray you have spoken to your people today, that you've ministered to them. I do ask you to stir up zeal, oh God, in the heart of your people. It is our aim, Lord, to help your men and women and boys and girls to know you more intimately and personally. Now, would your Holy Spirit move in this place and touch our hearts and lead us each to repentance? We give you the glory for what you've done and what you're going to do, for you are worthy of our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.